please, to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Just for a verse, really, or two. Romans chapter 8, verse 1 says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh." And that'll do us for our reading this afternoon, and we know that it is with God's blessing. Romans chapter 8 and verse 1. I was just chatting to David out in the foyer there before we came in, and we were saying that Romans chapter 8 and verse 1 is really a tremendous verse. And I want to think particularly just about the first half of that verse for most of our time together this afternoon. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. That is the message, of course, of the whole of the New Testament. That is the message of the whole of your Bible, I suppose, as we were thinking a little bit about this morning. That the message that comes from heaven to men and women and boys and girls in Newcomer in 2022 is, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Of course, that has some, that has a variety of aspects to it. You see, the first thing is that in Romans chapter 8, verse 1, it says, "There is therefore now no condemnation." And of course, that would suggest that there was previously condemnation. That there was, at one point in the past, a God in heaven who looked down upon you and condemned you. And if you're outside of Christ tonight, if you've never asked the Lord Jesus Christ to save you, if you've never been born again, then that is still the case. But the Apostle Paul, he's not writing to people who weren't Christians. He's writing to people who have trusted Christ. He's writing to people who were gathered as a church in the city of Rome. And to those people, he says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. And so he is able to look back and he's able to speak about the past condemnation. He says to you who are Christians, I want you to never let it slip your mind that there was a moment when you were in unbelievable danger. And if you're not a Christian, if you've never trusted Christ as Saviour, if you've never been born again, then I want it just to be burned into your mind today that there is presently condemnation, but that it can be escaped. That there is the possibility today of you going out of life and into eternity and being lost under the condemnation of God. But that there is also the possibility, if that is where you are right now, for you to trust Christ and for it to be written over you today, no condemnation. Now, I don't know if you really understand what that word condemnation means, so let me just explain it a little bit for you. If you're going to condemn something, If a person or a thing is condemned, then it is really beyond repair. If there's a building and it's not in very good condition, then they might come out and they might put a label on it and they might say condemned. Beyond help. Not not up for renovation. There are some buildings that you can go into and you can do a little bit of painting. You can do a little bit of joinery and it's habitable. But there are others and they put a big sticker in the front door. Condemned. Condemned. It's very, very common nowadays for a person to make a statement just with their phone lying in their couch, not really giving the thing very much thought, and for them to say something that's just not acceptable. And you will read maybe the following day that there was widespread condemnation. There was a failing to meet a standard, and there was criticism. There was anger against that statement. And here in Romans chapter 8 and verse 1, that the Apostle Paul has spent, he spent 7 chapters speaking about what we call the gospel. And he begins there, and we have tried as best we can just to pick out a few verses along the way. He begins in Romans chapter 1 and he says, listen, look at all of that condemnation. And he speaks about people who have turned the truth of God into a lie. And he speaks about people who look at sin, and not only do they do it, but they take real pleasure in the people who are doing it. Maybe you can see a bit of that in the day and age in which we live. They're not only doing sin, but if you do sin, you're elevated. You're given a position, you're given power. You're protected, actually. That sin's protected. And you come into Romans chapter 2, and it's not now a person who's just living an open, flagrant sin, but it's a person, and he looks round about himself, and he says, well, I'm glad I'm not like everyone else. And Paul says, listen, you're just as bad as them. The fact that you recognise sin in other people means you should recognise it in yourself. You're just as bad as they are. And in chapter 3, you're introduced to a man and he's not just saying, well, thank goodness I'm not just like those other people. But he says, I have the truth. I have the key to heaven. I know how to get into heaven. If I just follow these commandments, if I just follow these rules, I'll get into heaven. And the Apostle Paul says, you're just as bad as the man in chapter 1 and the man in chapter 2. And he concludes chapter 3 by saying, every mouth has been stopped. All the world is guilty before God. He says, there is no difference, for all have sinned and fallen short of God's glorious standard. That is condemnation. All have sinned. All fallen short of God's glorious standard. And then in chapter 4 he begins to explain that there's a bit of good news. And he says, from the beginning of time, from ever there were men on this earth, and from ever men began to disobey God, there has been a way to get back. And so in chapter 1, 2 and 3, you have condemnation, utter condemnation, the judgment of God falling upon men. And in chapter 4 and chapter 5, therefore, chapter 5 verse 1, therefore being justified by faith. Having been declared by God righteous because of faith in Christ. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And then in chapters 6 and 7 and 8, the Apostle Paul, he's saying, listen, there was a time when you were condemned and you're no longer condemned. There was a time when you were outside of Christ and now you have trusted Christ. You have peace with God through his Son, through his work at Calvary. And in chapter 7, the Apostle Paul's a bit down. He's looking at his life and he says, the things that I want to do, I don't seem to be able to do. And the things that I don't want to do, those are the things that I end up doing. I just I'm not really living the way I ought to be living, as hard as I try. And maybe if he was a religious man, maybe if he was a man who was relying upon his good works, he might just be deflated and say, I just can't get into heaven. I've fallen short again. He says in chapter 7, verse 24, O wretched man that I am. But listen to chapter 8, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. No condemnation. No condemnation, not because of something that I have done. No condemnation, not because of someone that I am. No condemnation, not because I didn't realise I was breaking the rules. That's chapters 1, 2 and 3. But no condemnation because of who I know. No condemnation because of who I have trusted. No condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. It's not that, you know how at this time of year, if you have the misfortune to have access to social media, you see a number of people. Everyone, it seems, new year, new me. This is my year. I'm going to seize the day. Wait till you see the change in me. The Bible says, listen, you've got no chance. There's no way that you're going to be able to change your life so radically that you will become a new person altogether. But he says there is a possibility for you today, January 2022, of no condemnation. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, the change is described as being so radical that if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature, a new person altogether. The old things have passed away. All things are made new. People sometimes would screw up your face at you when you use the phrase born again, when you speak about being born again. But the Lord Jesus, in chapter 3 of John's Gospel, speaking to a religious man, now the Lord Jesus didn't struggle for illustrations, but Nicodemus comes up and he thinks that he can just compliment the Lord Jesus. That he could maybe just win him over. That he could just get a little bit of what Jesus has. That he could just learn a little bit from Jesus if he just comes along and says, "Oh Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, because no one can do these things that you do except God be with them." And the Lord Jesus says, "Listen, Nicodemus, flattery is not going to wash you. What you don't need is more religion. What you do need is to be born again. The only way that you can be so radically transformed that you are fit for heaven is if you are born again." And it is only to those people who have been radically transformed, those people whose lives have been utterly changed, is that statement of Romans 8 verse 1 available. There is therefore now no condemnation. The judgment of God lifted. The fury, the anger of God restrained. And the love of God extended. The peace of God extended. The grace, the mercy of God extended. Only is that available to them which are in Christ Jesus. You see, God so highly values his son. God thinks so much of his son that if you are united with him, if you have trusted him as Saviour, then there can be no condemnation. That sin that separates between us and God, that disappointment that affects the heart of God every time he looks at us, that anger that God has against my sin is all removed in the person of his son. You know, when we met this morning, we were singing, we sung a hymn to start, and it says, "Thou hast my salvation wrought." And we're speaking to the Lord Jesus, and we're saying, "My Redeemer, oh, what beauty's in that lovely name up here. None but Jesus in his glories shall that honoured title wear. My Redeemer, thou hast my salvation wrought." There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. And it is available to you today. Because all of that condemnation, all of that anger, all of the judgment of God that was just stored up against your account, the Bible says God has poured it out in his Son. The Bible says that God has taken it. Tom mentioned it in his prayer. He has taken it and he has put it on the account of the Lord Jesus. That same chapter that we referenced earlier, 2 Corinthians 5, where the Apostle Paul says that there is therefore, if anyone be in Christ, he is a new creature. That old things have passed away, behold, all things have become new. Well, just at the end of that chapter, he says again that God made him, the Lord Jesus, to be sin for us. Someone who knew no sin, who had never sinned, who could not sin. He made him to be sin for us that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And so here's a transfer. Here is God in the middle, and here is the Lord Jesus on the one hand, and here am I, here are you on the other hand. And God looks upon his Son who means so much to him. God looks upon his Son who only ever delighted him. God looks upon his Son who was, the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 8, who was the apple of his eye. And he looks upon me and I'm a sinner. He looks upon me and I'm deserving of the judgment of God. He looks upon me and I don't even want to be saved. I'm not interested in salvation. I'm not interested in a relationship with God. No one really is before God is interested in them. He looks at them and he looks at me and he says, "I'm going to transfer the sin of this man to your account. And I'm going to punish you for that sin." And here is the Lord Jesus. And the Bible says that when they were come to the place called Calvary, there they crucified him. And we were thinking this morning in the meeting about those words that he cries out. And I just want you to try and grasp the enormity of them. Just grasp what they mean, if you can. I'm not really sure that anyone can, but just try to get your arms around them. Here is the Son of God, and he's only ever been with the Father. He has relationship with the Father. He's the Father's delight, the word of God, he cries out, "My God, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from me and from the voice of my roaring?" In Psalm 69, he says, "I sink in the deep mire where there is no standing." In one of the other Psalms, he says, deep calls unto deep. All your waves and your billows are going over me. In Lamentations he says, is it nothing to you, all you that pass by? Behold and see if there be any sorrow like unto my sorrow. The thing which is done unto me. It is the day of God's fierce anger. In Isaiah chapter 53, another section that was read this morning, the prophet Isaiah is writing, and he says, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement, the torture which brings us peace was upon him. And by his stripes, we are healed. And so maybe you look at the gospel and you think, that's illogical. How can it be that God gives me something for nothing? How can it be that I can have salvation free? Because it's not free at all. It's free to you. But it cost God the death of his son. You will hear, and maybe this is a woefully inadequate analogy, you will hear of things being free at the point of use. That doesn't mean they don't cost money. That doesn't mean that there is not expenditure elsewhere. The gospel for you today is free at the point of use. Salvation is available in front of you. It's within your reach. You don't have to hand God anything for it. It wouldn't be enough anyway. Wouldn't matter what you give. But there is there available salvation that has cost God everything. And there is, therefore, now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And there is, just at the end of that verse, a little section that we very rarely quote. And it's applicable to those who have become Christians. Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. You see, what the Apostle Paul expects, what God expects, what the Lord Jesus expects, is a change in the life of a person who's trusted Christ. Radically different. Born again, new creation. Not the same person as I was when I became a Christian, a new creature. With new priorities, with new desires, with a new way of life. This morning, when I picked up my phone, there was a little notification from the Bible app. And the little group of verses, were verses spoken by the Lord Jesus. Verses that are rarely preached on by people who like to preach on the words of the Lord Jesus. Because they're demanding verses. Costly verses. And they say, if anyone will come after me, let him deny himself. It's gender-specific language, but it does apply to ladies as well. Let him deny himself. Take up his cross and follow me. That means that I'm no longer living for myself, not according to the flesh. I'm not just doing the things that bring me pleasure. That would be the easy thing to do. Someone has well said that if sin was not pleasurable, nobody would do it. Walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Doing the things that bring pleasure to the heart of God. That really are in accordance with his word. That make the heart of God smile. And obedience to God does that. Whatever it is that needs to be done, Whether it is that I am not a Christian, that I have never trusted Christ and I need to trust Christ, if that's what needs to be done, then you need to do it. No condemnation. But if I'm a Christian and I'm not baptised, for instance, I'm not in local church fellowship, then there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Leave it there, and we trust that God will bless his word to us today. Let's pray. Our Father, we come before thee and we ask, our Father, that as thy word has been opened and read, that thy Son would be glorified in the salvation of our soul. Thank our Father of thy people who have heard thy word preached to, and we pray that it might have just encouraged and warmed our hearts to consider those words, that there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. We pray, our Father, that there would be lives radically transformed as a result of the preaching that happens in this place, both today and in the days that lie ahead, we do pray. And we ask that thy Son would be glorified in it as we offer thanks for him and pray thy parting blessing to be upon us in the Saviour's name.